The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. During the hymn a moment ago, I was trying to remember a time when I've ever seen the sun shining during Christmas Eve services, but it's happening out there. Some of you know that a small group of us went to Germany last month, and as we toured churches and other sites in Germany, we would see her sitting on the sidewalk, her back up against a building perhaps, maybe a church, or maybe with her back against a lamppost on the sidewalk. She was always holding a cup and looking up at passers-by with pleading eyes, hoping that those passing by would put a coin in that cup. A local told us that they were Romas. We in this country sometimes call them gypsies. He told us that later in the day, a man would come in a big car and pick them up and gather up all the money. They were the lowest, or they are the lowest of the low in the German culture. Beggars, questionable integrity, living within Germany, but not at all integrated into society. That would be similar to shepherds 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus. It's a great story that the boy David was a shepherd, but shepherds at the time of Jesus' birth were the lowest of the low, along with tax collectors and other people lumped into the category of sinners. People who couldn't or didn't keep the religious observances because of the work that they did or had to do in order to eke out an existence. And even though Luke tells the story of the birth of Jesus with a rather economy of words, he may use a good few, he uses a good many of those few words to underscore that it was to shepherds that the angels announced the birth of the Messiah. The powers that were, Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, are mentioned, but it's to the angels. The angels, it's to the shepherds that they speak. It's shepherds who heard the angels proclaim, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Good news of great joy for all the people. And I really do mean all the people, the angel seems to be emphasizing by speaking to the shepherds. Good news of great joy for you. Even you, including you, especially you. Craig Satterley, who's now a Lutheran bishop up in Michigan, suggests that God is still sending angels to shepherds and others. While reflecting on our annual Christmas Eve celebrations, he wrote, "I know and love people who have been outside so long they've given up on God. I know people so down and blue this Christmas that they cannot come to worship." And then he goes on to say, God sends angels to people who have given up on God. God is sending angels out into the fields with good news of great joy. Angels, messengers, sometimes you and me, out into the fields, the neighborhoods, the homes, the workplaces, restaurants and soup kitchens. God's mission still includes speaking this good news of great joy to all people. And to accomplish this mission, God's mission, God has gathered up God's church, people called and sent to proclaim the good news in word and deed that Jesus is born, that Jesus lives, that Jesus loves. This good news of great joy is for all people, even if they aren't anywhere around at the moment to hear. To you, to all of you, to all out there, Jesus is born, a Savior. Caesar Augustus fancied himself the Savior. Once he had wiped out his family members who dared to challenge his ascendancy to the seat of power, he then was successful in bringing peace to the great expanse of land that he controlled with an iron fist. Whereupon then he claimed, among other titles, to be the Savior, the one who had attained peace, who had at least stopped war for a time. But Luke, in writing our story, knew that that so-called peace was fleeting, already passed by the time he wrote this down, and that the real Savior had come in Bethlehem. To you is born a Savior. A Savior. Earlier this week, I was pondering examples of a Savior's impact on individual lives. Two people came to mind right away. One, because he's been in the news so much in the last week or so. You might find it strange to speak of Phil Robertson, of Duck Dynasty fame. He's been very forthcoming in the past about his youthful indiscretions, abuse of alcohol, and irresponsible lifestyle. And very forthright about the change that occurred when he became acquainted with Jesus, his Savior. Saved his life, literally, he says. Another example of the Savior's impact was shared in something my cousin wrote on Facebook this past week. PJ is more than 20 years younger than I am. I remember him as a baby, sitting on my grandmother's lap after she'd had a stroke, and not too long before she died in 1973. When he was still very little, his mother's severe mental illness was a real challenge for everyone concerned. His parents divorced. His father disappeared. A few years later, PJ was adopted by his stepfather and grew up in a small town in southeastern Indiana in the Roman Catholic faith of his stepfather. During all that time he was growing up, I was away at college and army and seminary and then starting in our first parish. When he became an adult, for many years, PJ lived in New Orleans, and our paths just didn't cross very often at all. We've reconnected in recent years, mostly through Facebook. I've seen him at some family gatherings in the past 3 years, but most of what I know about PJ, I know through Facebook. I've come to know him as a kind, insightful, caring, down-to-earth kind of guy with a great sense of humor, who, given what I've seen on Facebook, has more friends than I have golf balls in my garage. And my wife can tell you, I have a lot of golf balls. I want to quote, with his permission, a small portion of what he wrote last week in a longer piece. He said, "I knew I was different at a very young age. I grew up feeling I was sick or broken because of the names I was called and heard others called. Believe me when I say I did not choose this. I did not want to be this way. And I tried. Believe me, I tried. And that suppression of my true self led me down some very dark roads. Now I thank God, yes, the same God you believe in, for delivering me from my misery. And God has. God also has given me the strength to live as my true self." PJ's testimony is that Jesus saved him from some rather deep darkness in his life. That's Phil Robertson's testimony as well, and mine too. Sometimes a Savior pulls you out of rip currents that are about to drown you, and sometimes the Savior keeps you from going into the life-threatening waters in the first place. Sometimes the Savior saves you from the consequences of your own poor choices. And sometimes saves you from choosing unwisely. Sometimes the Savior is saving us from hurting others. And sometimes the Savior delivers us from the pain inflicted by others. But the Savior is for all of us. To us, to all of us, to every one of us is born a Savior. A Savior born to transform the world God loves. Born to transform individuals. A Savior who wants to save us from what we can become apart from Jesus. Who wants to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. It certainly helps things along when we are eager to grow, when we are pliable, willing to change, to be changed, even committed to listening and following the one who came as one of us at Bethlehem. But for every one of us, he is the Savior. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people, for all of you. For all of them out there, to you is born this day a Savior. A Savior born to bless all people. A Savior born to bless us. Thanks be to God. Amen.